morning. Happy Mother's Day. And as Nat noted, there are an assortment of roses out there. There's different colors. And so if you are so inclined that you want a particular color, you better rush and get there because there's only so many yellow, so many pink, and so many red. Okay? We certainly want to praise the Lord and thank the Lord for the gift of our mothers. And wish my mother was here this morning, but she is living in Timmins, Ontario, and so I will be chatting with her a little later today, and wishing her a happy Mother's Day. I ask you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 18. Many of you who are visiting here this morning are here as a result of child dedication service. And as we read in Psalm 78, verses 1 to 7, we want to recognize the privilege, the blessing, and yes, even the responsibility that comes with raising a family. As I look back on my own childhood, I recognize that there were times when I probably could have used a little more guidance. And by the grace of God, the Lord, in timely fashion, brought different people into my life that supplemented the care that my parents were seeking to nurture me with. And so as we're here this morning, I want you to realize as a parent, as an aunt, an uncle, as a grandparent, and we as brothers and sisters in Christ have a wonderful privilege to help each other raise these kids. And so a little later in our service, we'll be asking the parents and their children to come forward, and several of the fathers are going to be praying for their children, and then I'm going to have a closing prayer. I can still picture going next door wanting to play with Peter and Robert Raymond, next door neighbors. And Mrs. Raymond would be, I'd go up and very regularly as a 6-7-year-old, go up the back stairs and knock on the door. Can Peter and Robert come out to play? So she'd say, well, they're not here right now, but let me call them. So I'm going to back away from the mic. But she would yell out their names. Peter and Robert, wherever you are, Mitchie's here. That was my kid's name. It was Mitch. And so, sure enough, Peter and Robert would come bouncing in, and we would spend hours and hours playing. All under with the assumption, and probably not the full realization, that our parents were looking out for us. Did she know where her children were? Well, I'll tell you what, they were never very far away because they came within moments. They always knew that they needed to be within earshot of their mother's call. Of course, that wasn't unfamiliar for me either, because come 7:30, if I was outside in a beautiful summer day, I'd get called. And of course, I needed to come running, and I needed to always be within earshot of where my mother wanted me to be, so I would be attentive to her call. Now, let me use that simply by way of application to help each of us understand today as we look at Matthew chapter 18 and we look at Psalm 139 and maybe a few other references here this morning that, in fact, we need to be within earshot of God's Word. And we as parents need to be attentive to that to figure out how it is that we're going to raise our children in such a, well, might I say, a challenging time in human history. I wonder if we truly understand the great privilege and, yes, the greater responsibility to which we've been called this morning as parents. The task on any given day can seem not only overwhelming, but far beyond our capacity as imperfect people when it comes to actually raising our families. Chuck Swindoll, some years ago, wrote a little book called Growing Wise in God's Family and Family Life. And he was quoting Dr. Albert Siegel and saying, when it comes to rearing children, every society is only 20 years away from barbarianism. 20 years is all we have to accomplish the task of civilizing infants who are born into our midst each year. These savages know nothing of our language, nothing of our culture, nothing of our religion, nothing of our values, and nothing of our customs of interpersonal relations. The infant is totally ignorant about communism, fascism, democracy, civil liberties, and the rights of the minority as contrasted with the prerogatives of the majority. They know nothing of respect, decency, honesty, customs, conventions, and manners. And hence, the barbarian must be tamed if civilization is to survive. Now, those of you who have little children know very well that you try to establish boundaries, and it doesn't always work. So we have a couple of places in our kitchen where we have a drawer at low level that our grandchildren can always look into. They can't go into the others, but they can go into that one. And it's the plastic drawer. No sharp knives. And no glass and so on. And so sure enough, every child that comes into our home knows about that drawer and goes to that drawer, and the first thing they do is start throwing things out. And you can see it flying. And I've got pictures of little Cohen and pictures of Sam, Caitlin, with a strainer. It's a plastic strainer. It's yellow. And sure enough, every time they want to get to that particular strainer all the time, and they put it on their heads. Click. Lock it in. And it's somewhat comical to watch. I don't know why they're so fascinated with that thing. But you know something? The one thing that we don't need to say is don't go into that drawer. Don't open that cupboard. Because we found a way in which we could give them permission to open a particular cupboard. Well, it took us a while to figure that out. Well, me. Renee had it figured out long before I did. She was with the children all the time, and I would just sort of see. And then I'd ask the question, well, why are you letting them go into that drawer? Well, they don't go into any of the other ones. They go into that one. And I thought to myself, that woman's a genius. Sure glad I married her. Oh, rather, she married me, right? So when we think of the challenges of our day, we wonder, can we actually pull it off in 20 years? Can we do the task? I would say that we can't unless we have the help of the Lord. Unless we are consciously, intentionally, prayerfully on our knees before God, asking Him for the wisdom and the strength so that we can raise them. Matthew chapter 18. Now, before we read that, I just want to make this statement. Whether you realize it or not, God has given us children not so that we so much would teach them, although that's true, but that in fact, as we read the text, that they would teach us something about living. Let's pray. Or pardon me, read Matthew 18. I do want to pray too, but let's read the text here first. Matthew 18. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked. Now, you might want to underline this in your Bibles. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Disciples are asking this question, and you and I might say, well, I've never thought like that. Well, you and I may not have verbalized it, but our actions speak louder than our words, because most of us live very comparatively. We're always trying to make sure that we have our houses either nicer or grass cut shorter and all the rest, and we are always trying to portray the fact that somehow we are doing just a little bit better than the Friesens and the Thiessens. Over in Ontario, we say the Joneses, okay? So, yeah. The Comtois, we don't use that name there because most people can't pronounce it. So we just use the Smiths and the Joneses. Here, it's the Friesens and the Thiessens. Yeah. Say, oh, no, I don't think like that. I'm just a humble Christian. I just want to confess that to you. Sorry, you blew it there. So Jesus calls a little child, and he had him stand among them, and he said, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like a little like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, I want you to understand that entrance into the kingdom of heaven here is tied in with greatness, okay? So don't think about this as going to heaven when you die, but how that you can become great in God's kingdom. Verse 5, and whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. But if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Come on over to verse 10. See that you do not look down on one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go and look for that one that wandered off? And if he finds it, I tell you the truth, he is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any one of these little ones should be lost. Let's pray. Father, we commit our time to you, and we thank you for the privilege to open your word and just pray that your Spirit would use it to teach us how to live. In Jesus' name, amen. Children are a picture of what your life and my life, spiritually speaking, is to be like. In these few verses, we have their faith and their humility and their status. So I say, what do you mean, their status? Well, a child often at times is being told to what? Sit here, be quiet, don't interrupt, do as I tell you. So I say, well, what's that supposed to teach me? Be quiet, do as you're told, and so on. So, you know, my mom and dad taught me that. I'm trying to teach my kids that. I guess there is some principle here. In terms of status, maybe my status shouldn't really change as such. Maybe I should be taking the lessons that I was taught and continue to live them throughout my life. Children love those who love them. So that's pretty simple. Reciprocal love. Now, it may not sound all that profound, but frankly, there's no way that you'll ever be able to communicate with a child unless they sense that you love them. In other words, your words are only going to hit their brains and not their hearts. And there's no guarantee that because you've told them how to live that they're going to respect that. And so as the Lord Jesus is calling children to himself, he wants to provide us with a living example. And so for each of us as parents, as we've been raising our children, and for many of you who are still raising your children, you realize that God is simply trying to teach you a lesson about being great in God's kingdom through the lives of your children. Over in verse 10, children are protected in God's eyes. Exactly which angels are in which, in terms of hierarchy, they are that are looking out for our children, we don't know. But the Lord is seeking to express to each of us, and I don't think that needs to be emphasized overly as it relates to my own children. But oftentimes we fail to respect the fact that every child, even with its unique personality and sometimes its indifference to the things that we might say, is special to the Lord. And so the Lord is seeking to express how precious each child is. And so I want you to look around just for a moment. Think about that niece, nephew, grandchild that you're going to be dedicating this morning. As you prayerfully join in the prayers of the fathers and the mothers, to just simply realize that just as you were raising your families as parents and grandparents, these young parents who are raising their children are seeking to do so with God's wisdom, and that each child, as you look and you're going to see these different children, you're going to say, well, I don't know that child. Well, that child is just as precious to the Lord as your child or your grandchild or your niece or your nephew. Children can and do, in fact, teach us how to live. Robert Fulghum wrote, "Most of what I really need to know about how to live and what to do and how to be, I learned in kindergarten. Wisdom was not at the top of the graduate school mountain, but there in a sandbox at nursery school. These are the things I learned. Share everything. Play fair. Don't hit people. Put things back where you found them. Clean up your own mess. Don't take things that aren't yours. And then say sorry when you hurt somebody. And when you go out into the world, watch for traffic, hold hands, and stick together." How many of us as parents are still learning to live with those principles? There's no question that we can learn more than we would care to admit, but there's also this awesome responsibility that comes with taking our children and intentionally training them in the ways of the Lord. Turn with me to Proverbs 22, verse 6. Every child in the room, every person in this room was a child, and everyone in this room has a predisposition. We would call it a natural bent. Sometimes we say a natural ability. Sometimes we'll hear statements like this: "It looks like that what you're doing, you were born to do. You're a natural." These particular bents are by design. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he'll not turn from it." So I say, well, I don't always know the bent of my children, but if you observe and you take the time and you pray about it, it doesn't take long and you'll discover that your children, some are going to naturally eat with their left hand. Those will be people who are in their right mind. And they'll be a little more artistic, as it were, but at least by observation. You'll see that some of them will naturally do some things, and you sort of say, well, why did they do that? You know, one will start singing. The other one might not. One will start reading. One may, at a particular age, all of a sudden, rather than talk, start with a complete sentence. And sort of say, well, what's going on here? Some will want to always be helping around and being around you and learning. Next thing you know, they're emulating everything that you've done. They want to be just like you in so many ways. Turn with me to Psalm 139. Another beautiful passage in Scripture. It's a lament psalm, but many special lessons to be learned from Psalm 139. Verses 14 and 15, passages that I normally read when I go to the hospital and a mother has just delivered a baby and their mom and dad are. And I normally like to have a word of prayer. I like to read this passage of Scripture. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in a secret place, and when I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body, and all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Someone has said, asking the question, how do we actually nurture our children along this natural bent? Answer simple. And you'll see that a child begin to do this at a very young age. As the moment that you take an interest in them, they're trying to communicate back. Before they can talk, before they can actually make a sound, their eyes are flashing. And they're sending you signals. They want you to know that they are getting to know you, but they want you to know them, to appreciate certainly their needs. So, well, how do I get to know? And it seems as our children get older, we want them to become more independent, but you have to realize that they still want us to know them, to understand them. And so this is going to require some time and a lot of observation. Going to have to study human nature. Why do people do the things that they do? Fantastic resource that I recommend to people is a book by Larry Crabb entitled Understanding People, a book that I've read several times and recommend it highly. Prayer. Prayer, asking God for wisdom, concentration. Why is this child doing this? And then to discover where they want to go, what they want to do. Our granddaughter Chloe is having a birthday later in the month. We celebrated our granddaughter's birthday yesterday, Leah. Well, I say we celebrate. We weren't there, but we did send some greetings and, of course, got her a gift. And so Mama was letting us know yesterday that one of the things that Chloe has an interest in is calligraphy. So sure enough, Grandma's thinking about, well, let's see if we can't work with that bent. And sure enough, we found something and we're going to send it to her and say, hopefully you'll enjoy this. If this is where your bent is, we want you to enjoy that. Yes, we're going to need help from above, and yes, we're going to need wisdom. But the two essential ingredients that you and I are going to need is a desire to get to know them and time. I think my father lamented the idea that when I became a teenager, I wasn't staying home. I was actively involved in track and field and cross country. I played basketball. I was on debating team. I was on every kind of little thing. I was part of a chess club and all the rest, which I was enjoying getting to know people, but I wasn't spending enough time with my dad. My dad wasn't getting to know me. So finally, when my dad got a pilot's license, I decided I'd like to get a pilot's license because I'd like to be like my dad. I'd like to learn the things he likes, and I'd like to spend time with him. And sure enough, I got a pilot's license, and then we would go flying. He taught me how to weld. It was later in life that he took a real interest in fishing, and I never got into that with him, but I've seen him fillet fish pretty neatly and thought, you know, I know why now you grow that thumbnail out so long so you can grab that tail and then fillet that fish just so nicely. He said, that's exactly right. That's why I have it. Getting to know people takes time. You actually have to have an interest. And so as time went on and I began to mature, even as a young man, I would say to Dad, what would you like to do? What would you like to talk about? Now's the time to do that. I must confess that my wife is a lot better at that. She could listen to the kids nitter and natter all day long about this, that, and the other. And oftentimes I'm thinking to myself, they're not talking about anything specifically. They're all over the place. And they are. But it does have some measure of purpose. In relation to children, when the Bible speaks of training our children in the way that they should go, it speaks of you and I recognizing their natural bents, both the positive and the negative, and that you and I would learn to respond and to nurture those things which would help them to develop into godly men and women. And so many a grandparent that's here today, as you pray for your children, your grandchildren, you're saying, Lord, grant much wisdom and strength, and may these children appreciate your grace. And so recognizing our children's predisposition is going to go a long way in helping us to adapt to them as human beings. Two major mistakes, though, that you and I can make, which you and I should take to heart. I did it, made that mistake. I still have a predisposition to do that. We tend to raise our children the same way we were raised, which isn't necessarily the best thing. Sometimes it's good, sometimes not. And then secondly, another mistake that we often make is that we tend to compare our children with each other. If you've come from a larger home, bigger nest, you know that. Now, don't do that. Bobby does it this way. And so on. Psalm 139, verses 1 to 3, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise, and you perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down, and you're familiar with all my ways. The Lord knows every choice, every decision that you're going to make in your lifetime. He knows what makes you happy. He knows what makes you sad. Each one here in this room, although God knows all about us, each one in this room is unique. And with that uniqueness comes a lot of laughter, but at times it comes with some sorrow, some disappointment. God does have a plan for each of us. Now, it may not be by vocation, but it has to do with us representing God. And so we as parents need to recognize that God does have a plan for our children, that they too can represent the Lord. And we need to learn to cooperate with the Lord in seeking Him, knowing what it is that He would have us to do. Mr. and Mrs. Greening, Mrs. Greening isn't here this morning, were real prayerful role models for us. They too raised their children. They loved the Lord. They understood that with life comes complications. Renee and I both grew up in somewhat dysfunctional homes, challenging. We know that even as we were raising our families, we needed people to pray with us and to help us. And so Mr. and Mrs. Greening, sure enough, as our boys were getting a little older, Mr. Greening would say something like this, could you send a couple of the boys down? I got a little bit of work I'd like, could use a hand with. So sure enough, there'd be a project where the boys could exercise a little bit of muscle. They'd be shoveling this, moving that. And they got to have other people have a hand on their lives. Warning, must be careful not to force our children to be what we always wanted to be. What do we do when our children decide to walk outside of the limits that we've prescribed? How do we deal with the evil inclinations of our children? There too, the Lord is seeking to teach us something. Psalm 51, verse 5. I want to have a look. David is a psalmist, and he says, "Surely I was sinful at birth and sinful from the time my mother conceived me." Sort of say, well, it's not something you want to tell your kids on a daily basis, but the reality is at some point you have to help them realize that the moment that you and I get to make choices and we're conscious of those choices, we tend to make wrong choices. I say we tend to when we seek to be independent of the counsel of our parents and independent of the counsel of God. When our children decide to walk outside of these limits that we set for them, we need to be sure that they understand why we react and respond the way that we do. Why did we sit down and have a chat? Why am I limiting your freedom here? And that needs to be something that you say, I don't know that I want to do that. Sometimes we get raised in families where it's just a free run because I'm in a large family. Mom and dad only have so much time. In terms of the limits that you and I set on our children, they should be those which are clearly set out in Scripture. No, that doesn't have to do with, you know, how are you going to particularly clean your room and so on, but one of the things that Scriptures are pretty clear on that we want to teach our children is to love one another, forgive each other, respect each other, respect authority. And that respect, of course, needs to be mutual, where we as parents respect our children. And so I believe that all of these things that we've talked about here this morning are the kinds of things that we can learn from our children. And so we have several families. I'm going to call them up. I'm going to call Les and Beth, John and Jennifer, Philip and Clara, Eugene and Irina, Peter and Joanne, Alex and Anna, Nico and Cornelia, and Kevin and Samantha. You come on up with your kids. Stage is large enough. You can do it. You can make two rows. While they're coming up, I want to just reflect upon the awesome responsibility and the privilege that we have in training our children. This responsibility, of course, was given to both father and mother. And for those who didn't experience, you know, the kind of love and acceptance that you would hope that they could receive and which these parents endeavor and seek to do, please realize that we're okay. You want to play the guitar? You can do it. Okay. Please realize that there's a whole church full of mothers and fathers here. And hopefully we'll help each other in raising one another's children. I've asked some of the fathers if they would be willing to pray. And so this morning we have Les and John, Philip, Peter, and Kevin, who are going to pray for us this morning. So I'm going to pass the mic on to Les, and then you guys pass it on to each other. Okay.
Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for Paxton and giving him to us. And he's thank you, Lord, for your gift of him. And I pray, Lord, that you would just help us to raise him. I pray, Lord, that you would help him to come to knowledge of you early in age and that you would use him mightily for you. And we just thank you, Lord, for this church and thank you, Lord, for the encouragement and fellowship that we have here. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Lord, again for the day. Thank you that we have your word, which gives us instruction and wisdom in how to raise our children in the right way. Lord, help us to trust in you with all the decisions that have to be made. And as we raise Declan. Just ask that you would give us wisdom and guidance. Lord, we pray that for each person here, each mother and father who is doing their best to raise their kids in a way that is godly and can be an example to the world around us. Lord, just, thank you again. Amen.
Heavenly Father, just want to thank you for our children. Thank you for blessing us with them. Thank you that we're able to have children. And Lord, I just want to pray too that you'd give us wisdom, give us the strength, give us the knowledge and the patience to be able to teach them according to your ways. And thank you for your word also that you gave us an example to follow. And just pray that they would get to know you at an early age. And thank you for this church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Heavenly Father, thank you for a beautiful morning again today. Thank you for the privilege of being parents, and ask for strength for us to raise Nora as a godly woman, and thank you again for blessing us with her. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord, for blessing us with this wonderful child, and thank you for getting the opportunity to dedicate him before this church family. And I ask for strength and wisdom for Jennifer and I, that we can raise him to be the man that you want him to be. Amen.
Father, we thank you for the great God that you are. Thank you for the Savior that you are. And through your parental love, you have blessed Les and Beth and John and Jennifer and Philip and Clara, Eugene and Irina and Peter and Joanne, Alex and Anna and Nico and Cornelia and Kevin and Samantha. We thank you that you have brought Paxton Royce and Matthew Radin, Nora Jane, Jonathan, Carl, and Jeremiah Mark, for Jane, for Lila Cheyenne and Jaden Alexander, Lila Abigail, and Declan Paul into being. You've heard the prayers of these dads. There have been many prayers by each of these families for their children. And so today, Lord, they're offering their children back to you in full recognition that their children have been entrusted into their hands for a limited time. And so we as your people prayerfully affirm and recognize the need of your fatherly care. And through the duration of their lives, we ask that you guide these parents and these children in the ways of truth and in the life of the Lord Jesus. We pray that you would graciously mold these children in their formative years, giving them the will to resist temptation and to lead them to experience the forgiveness of sins and eternal life that is found only in the Lord Jesus. And so we join our prayers with those of their parents today. And we pray that their homes and the fellowship of believers in which each child is raised be to them a constant demonstration and an inspiration towards a Christ-filled life of faith. And so in the name of the Lord Jesus, we as parents and your people solemnly commit ourselves to the Christian nurture of all those children that you've entrusted to our care. Receive these children, and these are acts of dedication in the name and the love of the Lord Jesus, your Son. Amen. Would you take the time to continue to pray for these moms and dads and their kids? we have a prayer digest, and the names of these families are on there. And now that you've seen them a little more and you understand that they have a heartfelt desire to raise their family, you can join them prayerfully that way as well. Lord bless you. You can go and have a seat. Okay. If you want to clap, you can do that too. Yeah. Let me say that what we do here in a public way is just a small way in which we can support one another and recognize the need for a body of believers who are intent in helping one another to follow the Lord in truth and in grace. So may the Lord give you strength. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May the Lord give you peace. Greet each other with a holy handshake. Lord bless you. Have a great day. Happy Mother's Day. Don't